This is All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today, I'm happy to welcome guest reviewer Shirley Snavey. Shirley is the executive director of Vision Maker Media, whose mission is to empower and engage Native people to tell stories. Vision Maker Media offices are in Lincoln at the NET building, and Shirley is an enrolled member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe of South Dakota. Shirley, welcome to All About Books.
Thanks, Pat.
Now, I believe you brought along La Rose, the newest book by Louise Erdrich. Tell us about it.
I'd love to. More than 30 years after winning a National Book Critics Circle Award for her first novel, Love Medicine, Louise Erdrich has again won for La Rose. This is a tale of two Ojibwe families linked by tragedy. I've read just about every one of her books that's been published. I interviewed her for South Dakota Public Television when we were both in our 20s, a long time ago. It was right after she wrote Love Medicine. La Rose is her 15th novel. With age, I believe her storytelling is stronger and gets better at making the old Ojibwe tales meaningful for contemporary Native American people and the relationships that they hold. Who names a boy La Rose? Mm-hmm. There's always been a La Rose in this family since the first one, and that was in 1839. La Rose is a young girl who plays a part in the murder of a man who raped her, and that's just the beginning of that story. Mm-hmm. The first namesake stories is woven throughout the book, which Erdrich does with eloquence and meaning. The old tales are still reflective and important to the families today. The novel begins with La Rose's father, Landrew, and he's shot his best friend Peter's son, Dusty. It's ruled an accidental hunting death, but that doesn't take away the guilt or obligation to make things right. Landrew and his wife, Emmeline, make the decision to give their 5-year-old son, La Rose, to Peter and Nola, as ancient Ojibwe customs called for. Just a baby. How does he cope and understand such a decision? That decision starts the story of the two families making their way through terrible, tragic times. The beauty of this work is that much of it is seen through the eyes of the youth. It's a coming-of-age story for little La Rose and his new sister Maggie and the stronger relationships that they both develop with his older sisters and brothers. Nail polish, computer games, and dating are all part of this world of youth. They're old souls still living in America today. Erdrich doesn't shy away from the problems that face many poor people today: violence, drug addiction, sexual abuse, and the lingering harm of the boarding school era, when children were taken away from their families. Kill the Indian, save the child, was the misdirected mantra of the old days. Landrew went to boarding school and escaped with his best friend, Romeo. Things didn't go well, and Romeo blames his accident on Landrew. He's carried that grudge all these years, and jealousy threatens all who surround him. Erdrich again places the Catholic Church and the clergy in this book. The priest becomes a part of the community but departs when he begins to have feelings for Emmeline. Earlier, books by this author were filled with so many characters, both living and dead, that I often turn back pages to remember who was who is related and who is not. In this book, and more recently Roundhouse, the connections are clear. They're much clearer for me. The stories from the old days make more sense for the living today. Be prepared to cry and laugh and hold your family dear in this new novel by Louise Erdrich, La Rose. Mm.
I'm very curious about the time that you interviewed the author some time ago when you were both in your 20s. What do you recall from that interview, Shirley?
Well, you know, this was before we had cell phones.
Uh-huh.
And so I got her phone number because she was coming to the University of South Dakota. They'd paid for her to come and speak. And this was great because I got to do this with Simon Ortiz and Leslie Marmon Silko.
Oh,
I got
wow.
to interview a lot of these very famous Native American authors, Scott Momaday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, how
wow.
sweet is that, right?
Sweet.
I called and a man answers the phone and it's Michael Doris.
Oh, sure.
Her husband at mm-hmm. the time. Sure enough, she called me back and we made arrangements and got to visit. But, you know, the interesting thing about Michael Doris, my mother's a writer.
Sure.
Virginia Driving Hawks Navy. She would enter contests on occasion. And in mm-hmm. fact, that's how her first book got published was entering a contest for young people's literature.
Is that right?
And Michael Doris was one of the judges.
I see.
And so she got to know him when he died. It was just, it really affected us a lot.
How does having a mother who's a writer, as you mentioned, your mother is Virginia Driving Hawks Navy, who has written some very well-regarded children's books, of which I am aware, how does having a writer for a mother impact your own reading life, do you think?
Well, what's funny about my family is that the reason that I got a degree in journalism was actually my father.
Ah.
Yeah, he was the advisor for the students at the Flandreau Indian School on their yearbook. So I would go with him and I'd see how cool it was to put pictures and words and stuff together. Mom, I didn't know that she had written all along. You know, this woman always has her head buried in a book. The funny thing was is that my brother and I learned early on, if we wanted a yes answer from our mother, we would get her when she was reading a book and we would ask the question and she would always respond, uh-huh.
Well, there you go.
There you go. You know, when you have someone in your family who's an author, you're surrounded by books, surrounded by books. When they moved into an apartment and now they're at West Hills out in Rapid City, they would read all these books. And
sure.
I can remember one time we're sitting in the garage and she's boxed up all these books by themes. And me and my brothers are supposed to go through these and pick out which ones we want. And I got to go first because I was, you know, the oldest.
Uh-huh.
And so we divvied up all these books. And I probably have, I don't know, maybe 500-600 books in my attic now.
Is that right? They belong to your mother?
I go up there on occasion and I'll just take open a box and I'll pull one out. And that's how I found Bess Streeter Aldrich.
Is that right? She was in your mother's collection?
In my mother's collection. And it was a first edition book.
Wow.
I know. It's just crazy. The one about the light in the window or something like that. Or
a lantern in
her
hand.
Yeah, that was it.
A lantern in her hand.
And I don't know much about Nebraska. I grew up in South Dakota, and then I was in Massachusetts for a while. So when I moved to Nebraska, I mean, and this was also new for us as well because we're also Northern Ponca. But because we're from South Dakota, we didn't really know all that much, you know, about our Ponca heritage.
Mm-hmm.
So we delved into that head first, right? And
right.
Particularly my mother, who wrote another book for children on the leader Standing Bear. And that was featured in the Nebraska Sesquicentennial Project.
Excellent.
You know, a lot of kids now know who my mom is.
Well, that's wonderful. And I often think about the way that a book is written and put out there, and you just never really know where it will end up, in whose hands it will end up, or similarly, where a thought from a book will stick in your mind until much, and maybe much later, you remember it at a time when you really need it.
The Beat Queen by Louise Erdrich was also one of her earlier ones. And there's this scenario of a parade where I can't even remember why they have this dead person they're trying to hide, and she's in the float in the parade. Every time I see a parade, I think about that scenario.
And I would say that Louise Erdrich is the master of those kinds of images of who would have thought of that, but that the way that people who's doing just regular people end up in those crazy situations and make the most of them.
But she, you know, the beauty of her work is that it's about Indians today. And that's so important, you know, that we're not dead. You know, we're still very much alive. And we very much have cell phones and talk on, you know, the internet and do all these modern things. But our past and our traditions, even today, are very important. You know, the subject of language is language revitalization is so important to most Native Americans today. You know, she helps us through these things and to remember our past and to celebrate how that impacts our being today.
Well, I know as a reader who's a white reader reading her books, and I'm thinking of The Roundhouse in particular, I was struck in that there's a lot in there about Native law and how certain things apply in certain ways. As I read that book, I was struck by what was distinctive about their culture, and yet what were the pieces that were universal in the sense of a parent protecting a child, spouses loving each other and trying to protect each other. It was a real interesting look for that reason of what was familiar and what was distinct.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Shirley, thank you so much for being my guest on All About Books today.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
The book Shirley reviewed is La Rose by Louise Erdrich. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online. Visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.